Well, greetings to each one this evening again. In the precious name of Jesus. I just don't get tired of hearing testimonies how God keeps working in the lives of people and how He keeps just drawing men into Himself. And you know, something that really stirs me at times is I've often said, you know, the many years, what is it now? Since 1986, 23 years now that we took a stand, and I at times forget. And I think one thing that these tent meetings have done for me was brought me back to the reality. You know, you observe people's lives at a distance, and you really don't know what's going on in their heart. You really don't know what they're facing. But what these tent meetings have done in the past few years have brought me a little more to a reality of really what goes on behind the scenes. And hearing some of these testimonies in the last few years has really stirred me to realize that, you know, it's not always the way it looks on the outside. There are some people, right, neighbors to us and all around us that are really, really hurting. May it stir us to reach out to them. This evening I would like to... I really appreciated what Brother Stanley did last evening, and just for clarity on the recordings and on the phone lines and all that, the thought that he shared about stealing sheep, I really appreciated that. And I hope for those that are listening in, I trust if you're here tonight, you're not here struggling with that thought or idea, but I have for quite some time been burdened with that idea and that thought. I remember years ago as a boy, I was probably, I don't know, I may have been 18, 19 years old. There was a funeral in our community, and there were a bunch of some people that had come to the funeral that were that had left the Amish setting. And after the services, they were being accused rather strongly by some of the local people there about fishing in other people's fish bowls. Why don't you go out and fish in the ocean if you want to catch fish? Why come fishing in our fish bowls? And that has gone through my mind many a time through the years. And myself being born again back in 1982 and reaching out to the needs of those around us, and actually many times it was not as much reaching out as simply answering to their plea for help. And I've always taken this stand that I cannot, if someone asks me for truth, I cannot withhold the truth. If someone asks me, are sensors and openness, and they really want help, how can I? How can I just close up my bowels of compassion toward him and not reach out? I can't do that. And I would just like to say this, that in the same time, I am very, very slow, and I will say this, I get very troubled when I hear people that major on leaving some denomination. That's not where their focus should be. And I have told people through the years, especially in doing the Saturday morning Bible study, I've had numerous calls of people that would call me and have questions for me and that were seeking. And I try to make it very clear for them that I want them to understand that if they think I'm going to be here encouraging them to leave the Amish or leave the Mennonites or leave wherever they are, that they might be very disappointed, because that's not my focus. My focus is not in telling someone to leave where they are at. Now, there may be a time that you need to encourage that if they're in that state and just not being fed and just struggling along, but I think that will take care of itself. I would rather have someone stay in a setting like that until he gets a hold of a real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ than to make that plunge and be out there almost like a heifer left out of the barn in the spring of the year with no fences and has no idea where it's going and just go out there throwing her tail in the air and running wild and just having no control. But my heart has been that they would get a hold of a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you born again? Do you have the Spirit of God working in your heart, and do you sense His direction in your life? Do you know the truth? Get a hold of the truth and walk in that truth. And one of the main things I like to really encourage is that you get a hold of a transparent, honest heart. Do not be a hypocrite. What you believe, live it out. And whether you leave or whether you don't, will take care of itself. That'll soon come to play. If you walk in truth and you walk honestly before God and honestly with your fellow man, don't try to hide who you are. Just be transparent and honest. God will lead you where He wants you. And I just have no interest in trying to pull people this way or pull people that way. Let's point them to Jesus Christ. I don't want them to be living Hoperites. I don't want them to be Charityites. I don't want them to be Mennonites. I want them to be followers of Jesus Christ. Now, yes, praise God, I love the brethren at Living Hope. I love the church, and I trust you, brethren, love your churches where you are. We should feel that the church that we're a part of is the best, because that's where we are, and if we think it's the worst, we better do something about it. So I think everybody should be here tonight saying, praise the Lord, I love the church I'm in. We should have that. But we are not here to draw people to these certain places or denominations. I believe it's very important, it's paramount that we encourage them to be followers of Jesus Christ, establishing a clear relationship with Him and walking in that. And if there are people that are seeking that and they come to the place where they can no longer go along and live out their heart and are excommunicated or put aside or told they have to lay these things down and in order to stay part of the denomination they're in, they just may have to leave. But that is not the thrust. I remember hearing the testimony of a man that had left, I think it was the Amish, and it seemed his main thought or expression when he wanted to talk about conversion or new life was always about leaving the Amish. Well, that's not the point. That's not a conversion. The conversion is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, that may bring about some of that. But I just plead with you listeners out there that you understand clearly I'm not interested in trying to steal sheep. Oh, I like what Brother Stanley said, we're here to save goats. And I'm not calling anyone a goat tonight, but I want to just quickly here give you something that I've been burdened with for years. Today's terminology calls their precious little gifts from God kids. Well, what is a grown kid? What is a grown kid? A goat. Where will the goats be? In the day of judgment, they will be in the left hand, the sheep on the right. You know what I see today? And how does Brother Stanley say that? You get this one free. I always wonder, when am I paying for the others? But anyway, you get this one free. But something that's been a burden to my heart is that people call their children kids. And exactly, I raised kids one day. You know, most of the world out there is raising kids. You know what you do to raise a kid? You put it in a pen, you throw feed to it, and watch it grow. And that's what people are doing with these precious gifts from God. We're not called to raise kids. We're called to train children. And when you train children, you end up with grown adults. And you end up with people that are accountable before God. But if you're raising kids, you're going to end up with goats. And the Bible says they're going to end up in the left hand. So I, for that very reason, I can't call my children kids. I just can't do it. They're too precious. I'm not pouring out judgment there for that, but I'd like to challenge all of you. Be careful how quickly you call children kids. Because I just think it gives a wrong connotation to what these precious gifts really are. All right, so much for the freebies. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, this evening we bow before your holy throne again. And oh God, we just acknowledge our great need of you, of your Holy Spirit, of your power, of your presence right here in our midst. I pray, dear God, that you would anoint with Holy Spirit fire and power from heaven. Lord, that somehow you might reveal to us the way that you look into your precious body. The body of Christ. Father, I pray, will you grant that wisdom? Put aside all ideas of men and men's wisdom, but somehow expound your word to us tonight that we may understand your heart in the church of Jesus Christ. What it is to you and what you want us to be in it. We just want to give you this time, pray for each one. I want to pray your blessing upon each one for coming out tonight, Lord. Just bless each one for getting up out of their comfortable seats at home. I thank you, Lord, for putting a hunger in their hearts. May we all be filled tonight because you promise us that they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Hallelujah. We commit this evening to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this evening's message is based somewhat on the 8th article of faith, in the 18 articles of faith adopted there in Dort, Holland in 1632. There is one called the Church of Christ, but I'm not going to read the article. I'm going to go in a little bit different direction, and I thought of reading that article. It's a little lengthy. I do agree with it. I could have made a message and a sermon out of that, but that's not what the Lord laid on my heart. The Lord laid on my heart when I was asked to speak on these things, I wanted to take one of those articles and just expound out of the Word on it, and I'm not going to go into that article and just tear that whole article apart or try to explain it. But it does speak on some of these things, but I want to go in a little bit different direction this evening. And I ask that you pray for me. As I looked at this subject of the church, I realized that there are so many different sermons that can be preached off of this title or out of this title. And there are so many different fields and so many different areas that we could spend an hour in the functions of the church and all those things. And I would like to this evening also pray for me that in all this, that God would give me the liberty and the grace to integrate into this message the great salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. But now what I'd like to do with this evening's message is take a look at the church. First of all, in the Word of God, we find the church described in different ways. We find terms like the Bride of Christ. We find terms, the body of Christ, which is the title of the message this evening. We find the congregation, and we find the assembly, and there are some others. But this evening, I wonder, what comes to your mind when you think of the church? Now, certainly because of the title of the message, you possibly immediately go to the body of Christ. But so oftentimes when we talk about church, we think of a building. Or we think of, in my upbringing, the church was the denomination. Sometimes people think of a church house. Sometimes people think of a certain group of people. But the word church that we want to talk about tonight, and you know it's rather interesting, the word church is not found in the Old Testament, but it is in the New Testament 112 times. And it's always translated from the word ecclesia. Ecclesia. Now, that word is rather interesting. It's a Greek word, and it's translated from that word, the word church or churches. You find that 112 times. There are actually 115 times that the word ecclesia is found in the Bible. There are 3 times when the word assembly is translated church in the King James Version. And those are all 3 found in Acts 19. Acts 19, 32, 39, and 41 all use the term assembly, and it's translated as ecclesia. So, that is a Greek word that is made up of 2 different words. There is the word ek, which means out of. Just simply means out of, or from, or by means of. But in this thrust here, it's out of. It's the out of, and then the word kaleo is to call. So the word ecclesia or the word church simply means called out or called out of or the called out ones. I like to put it in everyday English. When you read the word church, it's basically talking about the called out ones. Those that have been called out of the world. And we could go on and on and define what all that means. The one I'd like to look at tonight, the description of the church as we find it, I would like to look at the body of Christ. We find that numerous times. And the question I have for us this evening, and what has come to my mind as I meditated on this thing some years ago and again this past week and past few weeks, why do you think the Lord would refer to the church as His body? It's very interesting, very intriguing to me as you make a study of that. And that's what I'm going to major, what we're going to focus on more tonight is why God would call His church the body of Christ. Now there is certainly one thing that we have to realize is that when Jesus was here on the earth, He went about preaching the gospel, He went about healing the sick, He went about helping the needy, He went about feeding the poor, and just went about doing that. He was here with a whole ministry of sacrificial service. That was the ministry of Jesus when He was here. It seemed like He said, He even said, I came not to call the righteous That He didn't come to heal the healthy, so much to speak, but the sick. He came to the needy and the sick, and He came to those. And we find in His life that those that didn't feel like they needed Him, He was almost ruthless with at times. And I so appreciated that thought the other night that Brother Stanley shared, how that He didn't say, you vipers, you serpents, you whited sepulchres, and all that. He didn't say those things to those sinners, those vile sinners, that woman caught in adultery, and to those wicked people. He never said those things. But to the self-righteous, to the religious people of the day, He did not spare them. You know, God is a God of justice. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of truth, and He's a God of mercy and grace. But He had very little mercy on the self-righteous. And I think when we look at the Word of God, we better look at that as we are the so-called church today, and we would claim to be right with God. And I think we better be careful how we try to ease in all the grace and mercy of God. But look at it that when Jesus, when the Lord is speaking to us, we better look at it a little more serious what He says about those that claim to be right. And see what He has to say to us. Well, the first thing I'd like to look at is this. When Jesus was here, He was here in bodily form. He was here in human form. He was here, He had a head, He had a mouth, He had ears, He had nose, He had hands, He had arms, legs, feet. He was here in a physical body. And those physical faculties He used to get around and to help people, to reach down and lift them up and to speak encouragement to their lives and speak all those things. He spoke to them. He taught them. He drew their attention. He was here doing that, ministering to the needs of people. Well, you know, our Lord and Savior left that physical body and resurrected and went on in the grave. He left that at the cross. He died. This physical body died, and he was buried, and He resurrected and ascended to heaven. So His body is not here anymore, right? Not His physical body. But we are His body. We are His mouthpiece. We are His hands. We are His feet. In that sense, it's very well suited that we are the body of Christ. Because we are here being directed by the head to fulfill the very things that He did when He was here. Now the other one I want to look at is this. And I feel there is no better way to describe the body of Christ or to describe the church, the true church, than the body of Christ with Him being the head. I'd like for you to turn with me this evening to Ephesians chapter 1. And I'd like to read from verse 17, break in here, verse 17 on to the end. Well, maybe I'll begin reading in verse 15. And maybe you can all stand just to stretch a little bit, lest you're getting settled down too well. Change of position here. You know, these chairs kind of slant down the wrong way, and different people have said they're not very comfortable, so maybe it's good to stretch a little bit. We'll begin reading here in verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above principality and power and might and dominion, to every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath, now he's all talking about Jesus, He hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body. If you're part of the church, you are part of the body of Christ, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Isn't that glorious? That's you and I. We can be a part of that. The body of Christ, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. You may be seated. Now we recognize that we have the universal body of Christ. And that body consists of everyone that has been born of the Spirit of God and is walking with God. We realize that. There's a universal body of Christ. I go over to India and I meet brethren in India. Now, they're not a part of the local body here in Living Hope Christian Fellowship. We don't commune with them or fellowship and wash one another's feet in that sense on a daily basis, spiritually speaking. How that we don't come together, worship the Lord together and all that. They're all the way over in India. But when I come over to India, I soon sense they are my brethren. They are my brethren in the Lord. They are part of the body of Christ through the resurrection of Jesus Christ and through His washing and cleansing of their sins being brought and adopted into the family of God. They have a clear testimony of a new birth, believing in the resurrected Jesus, believing in His death, suffering and resurrection, and are walking with Him, praying and seeking His face. No question, they are a part of the body of Christ. So we have that part of the body of Christ. And then we have the local body, which was made up of those that are also a part of the universal body, but have committed themselves together in a local setting to fulfill the commands given in the Holy Word of God. Many of the commandments given in the Word of God pertaining to the church and its functions cannot be fulfilled when one is standing alone with no commitment, no accountability, and no close connection with other brethren. Now, there are those that are shut-ins that cannot be a part of a functioning local body. There are those. And I'm not here chiding them in any way. God gives grace in those situations, but I tremble when I see people that intentionally take that position or they stand all alone somewhere and can't seem to fellowship with anyone. Something is wrong. As if you follow the Word of God, you know, if Paul would have looked if God would have wanted us to follow that way of being all alone somewhere in our own little corner, doing our own little thing, we wouldn't have so much instruction of how this body is supposed to function. As a matter of fact, a body would be a very poor description of the Church of Christ. But it is a beautiful description, and that's what I'd like to go to tonight. For our text tonight, let's turn your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to read the whole chapter. I want you to listen. We're going to expound quite a bit on this chapter this evening. But listen as I read it. Now concerning spiritual gifts, verse 1, chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that you were Gentiles, carried away with these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. I can't help but break in here. I am blessed when I see different churches that are coming together for these community tent meetings, and we can worship the Lord together and praise His holy name. Yes, there may be diversities of operations, there may be differences of administrations, but it is the same Lord and the same Spirit that works together in local bodies, and here we have been able to come together to serve the Lord, to worship Him together from different denominations, maybe doing things a little bit different. But what really is important is that we have the basics of the doctrine of salvation and of the doctrines of Jesus Christ clear and are walking in that. Yes, there may be differences or diversities of operations. There may be differences of administration and diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, that also takes place within the body, and we're mostly going to talk about the local body and how it functions. And then each of us from different local bodies here tonight can go home and put those things to exercise. I'm speaking mostly tonight to those who are part of a local body of Christ. And hopefully if you are here tonight and you are not a part of a local body of Christ, hopefully I can stir something within you that with this whole picture that God paints of His body, that would stir you to commit yourself somewhere where you could be a part of a functioning body and be there to be that member of that body that fulfills its part and responsibility. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. Not as you and I will, but as God wants. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, am I not of the body? I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee, of you. Nay, but much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And you know, in the original, it doesn't stop there. It goes right on and says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Now we recognize, as we read this, we are clearly shown that the body here, the body of Christ, is like our physical body. This body of Christ, it points out here, I want you to notice, that it has, number one, that it has many members. This body has many members. It has hands, it has arms, ears, eyes, and many more. But they are all diverse one from another. These members are not the same. They are all diverse one from another. Yet they function together in unity, therefore being a healthy physical body. He likens us to being a body, and there are many members. And if you want to, you can turn with me to Romans chapter 12. There are different functions in this body, and each member needs to be in its place. Before I forget it, there was something, a thought I had as I was reading that chapter there. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. You know, we really do need every member. We need each other. This physical body very much needs the other members in the same way it is in the body of Christ. We need one another. Now, back here to Romans 12. Begin reading in verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Und stellt euch nicht diese Welt gleich. Just naturally wants to come to German. I heard that so many times. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, that excludes none, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You know, I think this is a major problem in the churches today. People thinking too highly of themselves and not thinking soberly, as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And maybe we'll come back to that a little later. In verse 3 here, we find that we need to, as members of the body, find our place in the body. And we are to function in that place. Not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. And you know, that right there just brings us into a beautiful place. What a problem you have in a church when people think too highly of themselves. That can be such a problem. Exalting themselves. Having an exalted opinion about their own opinion. They value their own opinion above others. What a detriment. The second thing we notice here, the body is not made up of just one member. There is not one member that has it all together. We need the other members. Now, think with me. The eternal God in heaven is up in heaven looking down upon us, and He wants to see the body of Christ. Then he has, what he sees when he looks down is a little finger here. Yeah, I'm the body. I mean, can you imagine how much I could accomplish just being a finger? I could do a lot of wiggling, maybe. Probably couldn't even do that, because there'd be nothing there to tell me to wiggle, would it? See, it needs the other members. It needs the hand. It needs the muscles coming from here. It needs the message coming from the head. All those things working together for this little finger to do its part. Now this finger is a very, very, very valuable member of my body. Ask someone who has lost a finger. Here in the last half a year, I've developed a problem with my little finger here. I don't know what it is, if it's arthritis or what it is, but that thing will lock up during the night, and I get up in the morning and I can't straighten it out. And well, it's hard. I mean, you try to work with the thing curled up there, and it's just in the way, and then I have to straighten it out, and it's okay. But then when I want to go to write, it hurts too much to curl down, then it's in my way, I mean, that thing gets to be a nuisance. But it's very valuable. I mean, I never realized how valuable that thing was functioning properly until it started misfunctioning. Now, as we look at the body of Christ, and as we look at this little finger lifting itself up as being something and having it all together, how much would I get accomplished? How much would this little finger get accomplished? All by itself. Our text shows us, number three here, that the body is made up of many members having diverse gifts, talents, callings, and offices. Yet, it all works together in harmony to make up the body. Some beautiful pictures here. You know, we were all individuals. But now, by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. Some thoughts I had there, my thoughts, had a thought there that I wanted to. Maybe I'll just leave that for now. Maybe it'll come back to me later. What I'd like to bring out in this is this. Prior to September of 1982, either one of you and I would have probably had some awful clashes. I don't think I could have got along with you, brethren, prior to September of 1982, because I was not baptized into the same body. Remember baptism? I hadn't plunged into Christ Jesus. And when people are in Christ, they can flow together. You know, that is one of the greatest mysteries for the world to look upon. And I feel like Brother Stanley said, there is something that we need to take a look at as people of the United States. This country that we live in is so extremely independent. I've said it before. I still believe it, that the average American has a great big banner written over his life. And across that banner is written Declaration of Independence. I tell you, if you want to look at something very interesting, I would encourage you to get a hold of the set of tapes that David Brousseau preached a series of messages on the myth of Christian America. And he goes back into history and he searches that up. If people claim that America was founded on Christian principles, they're wrong. You go back and you look at the founding of America. There was tremendous selfish rebellion and just anything but true Christian principles. Now, there were some that came along with that were Christians and came here for the liberties that were given here for their worship and certainly lived out some of their beliefs. I praise God for that. But I just encourage you to make a search. We oftentimes accept those kind of things, and well, because the coin says in God we trust, well, you know, then therefore it's a Christian nation and all that. But I would like to encourage you to take a look at that. I was intrigued with just going through that and studying that out. But something that I am concerned about, and that we in America how can I say? You get into other countries, you get over to India, you get to Africa, and you get to those places, and you will find that the people are very, very community-minded, family-oriented, very dependent on each other. They will protect each other. They'll look out for each other. I remember our son Samuel going over to Niger, and when he came back, he said, Dad, he said, I think some of those people would be, it would be very difficult to get any of those Muslims, which is their belief, converted. He said they are so united and protective of one another and just very close-knit together in support of one another and community-type living. We in America are so independent. I mean, you know, years ago we do our threshing and haymaking and those things together as neighbors. You don't see that anymore. Everybody has his own equipment. Hardly any working together anymore. We are a very independent, self-sufficient people. And I think this comes right into the church and it affects us where we lose out on the concept of what it is to be a body that functions together in unity. Where we, you know, this body, I'll come to that a little later here. Now, I'd like to share something tonight that I have just done a little bit of a study in the last few days and I have been very blessed with. I am not a biologist, but I spoke to you the other evening some about the stars and the awesomeness of God, and that, and I knew this, but I didn't do it in that study, and that is that if, as they continue with better and better telescopes, they are able to look out in there in the galaxies and those things, and now they are looking out into one that's way out there. I don't have the figures or names here. It's way out there, and in the middle of this thing is a black hole. It's just a blackness. They can't see into it. There's nothing there as far as they know. But in the middle of this black hole, there is a sign of a cross, and they're intrigued by this thing. Now that's way, 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 way out there. As a matter of fact, if I remember it correct, it gives the thought there that if the Earth were the size of a golf ball, and you would take this planet or whatever that has this black hole in it or whatever it is so vast that you would, if you wanted to compare it with the Earth, you'd have to take the state of Texas and cover it with, was it 23 inches of golf balls? The whole state of Texas. And that's how many golf ball sizes of, or that's how many Earths would be in this big mass planet. Or whatever it is out there. We talk about the awesomeness of God, we can't begin to fathom it. But now something that has really intrigued me beyond this yet is going the other direction. You know, my family and I, we went out to the Creation Museum here a year or two ago, and I was just so intrigued. We went from the planetarium and walked over into another place where they were doing microscopic things, where we saw a screen on the wall with a drop of water, which if that drop of water would have been put on a big screen, it would have probably covered this whole platform up here. And just the interesting things. But here, what I just found out lately here is that the biologists have been doing a study, and something that I'm not sure how many of you have ever heard of the term laminin. I know there's one brother here that has, but I just wonder, how many of you have ever heard the term laminin? There's one back there. I know the brother here has. I was just intrigued with that. The biologists, in doing research on the human body, have found this. And I don't know if you know it or not, but in the average human body, there's something like 10 to 16,000 proteins in the human body. And they don't even know how many there are. There's just so many. They're not exactly sure how many they are, but one of these proteins is a protein molecule called laminin, which is the size of two atoms. Now, it's so small, an atom is so small that the actual diameter of an atom is very small, and it would require some 200 million of them side by side to form a line a little more than a 3/8 inch. It would take over 200 million atoms. Now this protein molecule that is in your body is so small that it's about the size of two atoms. And the interesting thing is, it's a protein molecule, and it's a cell adhesion molecule that holds everything together in our bodies. It's an adhesion. It's like the glue that God put in us to hold our body together. And they've been doing research on this, and they're intrigued because the biologists have this, and they have pictures of this, and photographs and things. And the interesting thing of it is, the very awesome thing of it is that this molecule, this microscopic molecule, is in the shape of a cross. I tell you, that thrilled my soul. The adhesion molecule that is in your body, that's so small that it has to be seen under a microscope, if they check it out, it's the part that is needed in your body, and if your body lacks this, you end up with things like can I say it? What did my brother have? My brother Mike. Multiple sclerosis and those things where you just can't function. You kind of fall apart. But this thing, if you had none of this, your body would fall apart. It would not hold together. And I thought, wow, isn't it something? And it's in the shape of a cross. Isn't it amazing how God designs these things for the intriguement, I might say, even though we have the Word of God, but as people do research in these things, they're coming to some of these things, and it's awesome to me. Isn't it true that the body of Christ is held together by the cross of Jesus Christ? That's what it did to me as I was studying this. Wow! Isn't it amazing? Without the cross of Christ, the body of Christ won't hold together. You know, the cross of Christ working in your life and in my life creates death in us. And if we do not experience death in us, we will be exalting ourselves above one another. We will have problems. There is no dying to that self that wants to run our lives, and we will run into all kinds of problems. A quote here from the Wikipedia encyclopedia about laminin says this. Now, this is not spiritual type stuff. This is an encyclopedia describing the laminin. Laminin is vital to making sure overall body structures hold together. Oh, that's, wow. Quite interesting. All right. Let's look at the human body. Well, number one, the head. The head of the human body. One thing, now remember, we're talking about the church. We're talking about the body of Christ. We're talking about the church. Nobody can live without a head. You know, our bodies can be dismembered. We can have arms amputated, hands amputated, legs amputated. Some of you may have seen the young man that was born with no hands and no feet or no legs. He lives. Travels all over the world sharing its testimony. But you remove a head and a body can't live. The moment the head is removed from the body dies. Isn't that interesting? The moment the head, Jesus Christ, He said He's the head, the moment that connection between the head and the body is severed, the body dies. Number two, all body functions get their direction from the head. Does your church? Does our church? All functions of the body get their directions from the head. There's a tremendous, and I don't have the statistics, but or the schematics of all the things that take place between the brain and the body and how it all works. I don't have that. But we do know that they all get direction from the head. So much so that it's intriguing to me to observe a little child and how that little child, when he's born, has to learn. You know, it's rather interesting how these bodies, how they're made. You know, you and I can do things like this. Now, if I would go just a little bit further, I'd hurt. But through time, a child can't do that. I have learned just where to stop. That is instinct. That's something our body has learned through time, and even though it gets its direction from the head, we're not even conscious of it. But that's the way it functions. Our body is a very intriguing thing that God created. I'd like to go on here. The moment the body is separated from the head, it dies. When Christ is no longer the head of the body of Christ is dead, and you end up with nothing but a religious organization. Let's remember that. And I know we all know that. All right, let's go back to the human body. Let's look at some of these members. Our text here talks about less honorable members. All right. How much attention do we give to someone's toes? Now, I grant you, if you would all walk in here with a blanket covering you all but your feet, and you'd be barefooted, I would not know you by looking at your toes. I just wouldn't know you. I wouldn't recognize you. So we give very little attention to one another's toes. And yet, our toes are very, very, very important in balancing the body. There are members in the body of Christ that go unnoticed and are tremendously important in balancing the body. There are those brethren in a church. There are those sisters that have an ability to balance things and are totally hidden. You don't even notice them. but they are a part of the body and so vital. They are needed. Maybe you're a toe here tonight. God bless you. We even cover them up. You don't even know how my toes look. Totally covered up, totally hidden. You wouldn't recognize them. Don't know whose they are. But they are so important, I couldn't be walking up here like this without them. Maybe with a lot of practice, after a lot of time, I could stumble around. But they are very vital to the balancing. I'd have a balance deficiency without those toes. And if you're a toe here tonight, in a local body somewhere, just be there. Because the body that you're a part of will very possibly have a deficiency in balance without you. You're needed. You're needed there. All right. How about the feet? We cover them up. But they bear the weight. They are weight bearing. You know, if you go through a hard day's work, most times your feet are what get tired. All I have to do is walk around in a Walmart or any other big shopping center for a period of time, and my feet get very tired. And I think it has to do with the concrete floor, whatever it is, I'm not sure. Maybe it's stress of being in this Vanity Fair, I don't know, but I don't like them. I don't like being in there. But I get tired feet. Well, those feet carry the weight. There are those members in the body that carry a tremendous amount of weight, and yet they're covered up. You don't see them. There are people that are prayer warriors. There are people in the body of Christ that in their quiet time, in their hidden way, are bearing a lot of weight. They sense a burden, and maybe something is put on them, maybe some responsibility. There are some feet here tonight with these tent meetings. There are people that have done a lot of work to get all this together, all the electrical work. I like to think of Brother Adam Martin. I think he's a foot here in these tent meetings. He's bore a lot of weight here in getting all the electricity things working. There's the tape ministry, the recording being done, the chairs being set up, all those things. People are bearing weight in this thing. Then there are the prayer warriors that are praying and praying. They're very useful, very needful, yet we don't see them. I've often said that I believe that the young lady or the young man, I see we got to move on here, that goes to clean the church house in the name of Jesus gets every bit as much of a blessing as the brother that shares the message on a Sunday morning. I believe God blesses that willing heart and servant. All right, I got to move on here. What about the legs? They're the strong pillars. They stand upright. Yes, we cover them up, but they're there. They're not noticed that much, but they hold the weight. They're strong pillars in the church. Strong pillars in the body. With weak legs, we fall. With crippled legs, we can't walk. There's the eyes. There are those that have insight. There are those gifts in a brotherhood, those members that have insight into things. They tend to see things that I'd never see. Oh, they're so needed. Then there's also the nose, the sensitivity. They have a keen sense of smell. Something's going on, and they say, you know, something just doesn't smell quite right here. Discerning. You know, they can just smell something's not quite right here with what's going on. God bless them. We need them. Then there's the nose. I'm sorry. The mouth. The teacher. The preacher. We need them too. But oh, how much good would a mouth do all by itself? Blabbering away. Can't go anywhere. Can't do anything. It's just somewhere there, wherever it is, maybe on a shelf, blabbered away. Well, nobody will hear it because everybody will walk away. See, it needs the other members to put it behind the pulpit or wherever the teaching is needed. Then we have the ears. There's the hearing. There are those in the church that had that keen sense of discerning and hearing. They hear something that is not sound doctrine, and they pick it up. Those gifts are so needed in the body. Then there's the hands. There's feeding and ministering. Oh, I could go on and on. There's fingers that handle the delicate matters. There are so many in the body of Christ that are able to handle the delicate matters. And I'll tell you, if you have somebody, maybe a child has a splinter and comes to you, or maybe, you know, maybe you even have a splinter in your hand, and this delicate little finger comes and takes care of that, I'd have an awful time for my elbow to try to get a splinter out of my hand. I'd have an awful time. But you see, it needs those delicate little members. And we have those right in the body that are functioning. Then we have the arms. I like to think of the arms as the support and the lifter-uppers. You know, remember what? Our arms can be there to lift one another up. Hey, and what a blessing those are in the church, those lifter-uppers. Brother, God bless you. I'm praying for you. Those are the lifter-uppers, and we need them. If you're a lifter-upper, God bless you. All right, then there are some hidden parts. We have the heart. Maybe you feel unnoticed. But remember, maybe your faithful prayers keep pumping the life flow from heaven into the body. Nobody knows what my heart looks like. Totally unnoticed. Nobody sees it. Just functioning in obscurity. But I can't live without it. Maybe you're a member in the body that the body could hardly make without you. It just couldn't live without you. Keep pumping that blood. Keep pumping that blood, that life flow into the body. Then we have the lungs. Oh, that member, that faithful expansion and contraction without complaint. Our lungs keep doing that day and night, just on and on. Even in our sleep, they keep on going, expanding, contracting. You know, there are those members. They get stretched one way and then another, and sometimes you wonder how they can handle it. It seems God gives them that gift to be stretched one way and then another, and they're just there faithfully going on. Philippians 4:11, Paul says, Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He says, I have learned, I know how both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He knew how to be stretched. Then there's the liver, the filtering things. The kidneys, they also filter and they dispose of unwanted matter. We have that. They're right in the body. They can take care of some of those things. Then there's the blood. The Spirit flows through all members. The blood flows through all members, giving the vitality of life. You know, the life is in the blood. We have the Spirit of God flowing through us, through the body. All right. We see that all these diverse functions, yet they function in unity. The reason they function in unity is because the messages they get are not conflicting messages. They all have the same head. And that's why the body can function. We cannot function if we have two different heads. This body just will not work. The more that I get to know God, the more I'm convinced that God loves diversity functioning together in unity. And I could go on and expound on that. I don't have the time here. But the only way this can happen is if the members submit one to another, not all do the same thing, but carry out their individual functions in unity, one with another. I'm going to have to go rapidly here. Please follow with me. 1 Corinthians 12:14 says, for the body is not one member, but many. We as the children of God were never meant to function alone. We know that way back in the Bible. The day of Pentecost, it says 120 were together on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit came down upon them. We find that Jesus sent them out two by two. And we find John and Peter went up to the temple. One just Peter, one just John. He sent two of them up there. Or they went out that way. In Acts 13 it says, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas? So diverse? I mean, Paul was a truth man. Barnabas was the mercy man. And they had that so strong that they even couldn't get along very well. They had to separate. Later they came together again and worked together beautifully, but they were so varied. But the Spirit said, send me these two. Do you see? I believe God saw they needed each other to balance each other. But they did just what so many times we do. We react to one another and cause a separation. Instead of working together and using those gifts for the benefit of the whole, it either has to go my way or he has to have it his way. And nobody benefits. You know, there are the truth people and there are the mercy people in the church. The grace people, we might say. Oh, everything's just grace, grace, mercy, mercy. But then there are those who say, well, you got to hold the truth. And we need them both. Oh, we need that balancing effect. We can't have the mercy people just take off with all their mercy. Everything's just love, love, love and mercy. And you'll find out you'll deviate from the truth. Then you can have the truth people that get so truth-minded and they just keep hammering truth and people come in hurt and they leave hurt. They don't get any help. Oh, we need that balance. We need those different members. The gifts, though diverse, will complement one another if the unity of the Spirit is there. But you see, the Spirit always works for the benefit of the whole. Don't forget this one. As you function in the body of Christ, whatever you do, it must always work to the benefit of the whole. Not just you, not just this person, not just this side or this faction. It must benefit the whole. That's the way the Spirit of God works. That's the way our body works. That's the way this physical body works. What happens when a member is disconnected? When our oldest son Marvin was born, he was born with a torn nerve in his shoulder. And when he was born, his arm just hung back here like this, useless. And it was that way for some months. He was born August the 31st, and I think it was around the week of Thanksgiving. We took him to the hospital, different things, and they said he may never have his feeling. He may never use his arm. He may be crippled for life. And it just hung there, totally useless. But they gave us one ray of hope. They said, the nerve is torn, but they said if the covering, they said it's a little bit like a wire, if the coating to the nerve is still there, these nerve endings will grow together. Now there is what happens if there's a member that's disconnected. It was useless. It was just hanging there. But praise God, that nerve grew together, and within a week's time, he was putting his hand above his head as a little baby. But that's what happens. In the spirit of the world, diversity clashes. But in the spirit of Christ, it brings balance and glorifies God. Behold how they love one another. You know, the world is intrigued how the people that are so diverse can flow together in such beautiful harmony. Oh, we need this. We must focus on the benefit of the whole, not on the individual members. Many times people want to be part of the church to see what they can get out of it. Oh my. Yeah, let's just look at Jesus' members. Let's look at his physical members. Which member of Christ's body was lifted up when he fed the 5,000? When you read the Bible, which member of Christ's body was lifted up as being special? His mouth, because he said, bring them hither to me. Or his hands, because they took up the bread to bless and break it. What would we have if Christ's legs would have refused to carry him the many places he went, preaching and teaching? Yet we don't even think of the legs that Christ had. See, that's that part of the body that functioned together for the benefit of the whole. And through it, we have a wonderful picture of our Lord Jesus walking here in the earth, going about ministering to needs. One feeds the other for the strengthening of the whole. You know, it's amazing. Many times people want to be part of their church and see what they can get for themselves instead of what they can give. You know, I'm not getting anything out of this, I'll just leave. That's what oftentimes happens. But I tell you, I'd like the rest just to look a little bit here. How does the natural body get or receive nourishment? How does it do it? The stomach sends a signal and says, I'm hungry. Now, the stomach is totally incapable of feeding itself. It has no means to get any food into it. And we're speaking metaphorically here, maybe a little bit, or an illustration, or however you want to say it, but the stomach sends a signal. It's all it can do. I'm hungry. Well, that signal goes to the brain. The brain sends a signal to the nose. The nose starts smelling. And it smells food somewhere. And passes on the information. Then the eye starts looking for it. And the feet take the body to find it. Okay, now what? How is an eye going to eat? If the eye wants to stand out there all by itself, how is it going to nourish the body? It can find it. Oh, I found the food. Great, but you're helpless to eat it. So then the feet take the body over to it. Well, there's the food. Here's the feet. I took it to it, but now it has to depend on another member. What I'm trying to bring out here is our need for one another. We really need each other. We need the members. The hand picks it up and brings it to the mouth. That's all it can do. But it is doing its part. Now, this hand can't taste the food. The feet can't taste the food that went over there to it. The hand picks it up and brings it to the mouth. The mouth takes it in, chews it up, breaks it down. Doesn't even receive anything. Are you willing to take something, to go after something, to really get it and break it down and give it and receive? What do you receive? Is it for your own glory? Is it for your own benefit? Or you'll receive a benefit out of it, but only as the whole benefits. See? The stomach digests it. Now, which member fed the body? They all work together, and in the end, the whole body benefits. Oh, can we get a vision? Can we get a vision? How that we need to pour our lives into one another, flowing together in unity. You know, too much we have this idea it's all about me. But that's not the way Christ functions. The body of Christ, remember, Christ's whole life was a life of sacrificial service. Giving, 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 giving. When did he ever take? We just don't find it. All right, what about physical damage? The left hand, through reckless moving, gets a splinter. Not even noticed right away. The effects of the foreign object start having its effects. The body feels something is wrong. The eye starts looking. Here the body is. Has no idea what's wrong. It's something is wrong. You know, sometimes you sense that in a brotherhood. Something's wrong. You can just feel it. And there's the eye. A brother with a gift starts looking. He may even find it, but he doesn't have the gift to take care of it. See, that's why it needs to flow together. If we become selfish, we try to find it, then we want to take care of it. But we don't have the gift to do it. We need our members, our fellow members. You know, this eye finds this splinter. It looks for it, finds it. It finds the problem. The right hand and the eye work together to remove the foreign object. The splinter. And healing takes place. But just think of how, you know, I had to think of the word, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Flowing together in harmony and unity. How would it, one member, you know, if this splinter would, if the members wouldn't work together and flow together in harmony, you'd have a problem. All right, I'm going to have to skip through this a little bit here. The question I have for you tonight. If the left hand resists the right hand and the eye working with the splinter, then what? What happens if they refuse to work together? You're going to have infection setting in. You're going to have a lot of problems. Imagine the confusion in your own life if one day the members of your body would not submit one to another. You'd wake up in the morning and you'd want to get up. And the rest of your members would not cooperate. You know, some people face that. And they are cripples. That's what's wrong. There's a lack of flowing together. And it's usually a lack of communication between the head and the member. How do you function as a member in the body of Christ? Are you struggling with discontentment because you are not noticed? These are some challenges I'm going to lay before you. Do you feel overlooked? Do you feel overlooked in the body? Do you envy another's position? Do you have a desire to be a leader? Do you have pulpit itch? Do you desire to be asked to be a song leader? There are many things I can mention here. And I want to be very quick to tell you that it is not wrong to desire to be used of God in the kingdom and in the church. But your desires must be sanctified. If they are tainted with self, your desires become an enemy to your spiritual growth. It is good and well to desire to be all that God wants us to be and to be useful in any way God wants us to be use us. But to desire that which God has given to another soon becomes an unsanctified struggle for position. It has done a lot of damage in the churches, the body of Christ. And if that is, if you're in that state, soon, many times without even realizing it, the ones seeking position process everything that the ones that are in the position that they desire, they process everything that they do through a mind that is thinking how it should or could have been done better. This brings about a critical spirit that is always trying to find fault in the ones that stand in the way of them reaching their position. This does not edify and bring peace in the body of Christ, but much rather constantly wears away at it. This is a sickness in the body of Christ. And if you are here tonight and you find yourself sitting there in that pew, Sunday after Sunday, and you struggle with the one that's behind the pulpit or the one that's leading the singing. Maybe you're a song leader, and another brother is leading the songs this Sunday, and you're sitting there, and you just think he doesn't do it right. I challenge you to search your heart. Is it because you are not up here that Sunday? Or a brother is asked to do something by the church, and you would have liked to do that, and you start tearing apart in your mind the way he does it. I tell you, this spirit is very strong at work in the body of Christ today, in different churches, and it destroys, and it is sin. It's not right. We are members one of another. This is a very destructive spirit. You know, last evening, Brother Stanley talked about passion, possession, and position. Which category do you think this falls into? It's that position one. It's part of those sins, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life that wants to destroy. I tell you, we can so easily fall into these sins and cover them all up with the idea that we want to be spiritual. We call it spiritual desire. But let's be careful. Let's search our hearts. What is it all about? Is it about me or is it about God's glory? Are we in this thing totally for His glory? Or do we just want to get some recognition? We just want, and especially if we're a little inferior, we just want to be noticed. We want to be accepted. We want to be there too. Oh, it's so subtle. But it's destructive and it's not right. It's not humility. It's a wrong spirit that works in the churches and does tremendous damage and destroys. The Bible tells us in Galatians 5:26, "Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. I'd like to just ask you this question. How about you this evening? Are you seeking position? Are you struggling with where God has you? Are you a foot, a toe, a little finger, and you're just struggling? Because you'd like to have a place of more recognition. Nothing wrong with seeking to walk with God, but let Him deal out those things according to His will as He sees fit. Let Him be. We have this little motto or this little saying in our home. Wherever you are, be all there. I love that. Wherever God has you, just put your whole life into just serving Him right there. Don't always be seeking something else. As a little boy, I was given a book with Aid of the Ayrshire. Now, I'm not much into the comic things, but there's something in there I never forgot. I forgot all the others, but there was one in there I never forgot. It was just a bunch of pictures of Aid of the Ayrshire. Maybe some of you don't even know what it is, but it used to be a little comic thing in the Lancaster Farming or one of those. And there was this thought about the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. And here she was, Aid of the Ayrshire, was in the fence, looking out there at the green fields over on the other side, so as he stretches through the fence and he's over there eating on the other side. That's the next picture. Then after a while, she lifts her head and looks back and sees it's greener on that side. Now she's looking between the fence, looking at the other side, and then she sticks her head back around to eat on the other side while she's standing over there, but the problem is she's wrapped around a post. And I thought, boy, doesn't that clearly depict the way we are? Got herself in a real tangle because she always thought it looks better on the other side. And you know, we can do that right here, right in our midst, always thinking that some brother has a more glorious position or place or responsibility than I have. But I tell you, if you're just cleaning the church house, if you're just giving someone a glass of water in the name of Jesus, you will in no wise be overlooked. God's blessing will fall upon you. And I want to encourage you tonight. We need members in the churches that are there for the benefit of the whole, not for their own benefit. We have too many people seeking their own benefit, their own gratification, and their own exalted name or whatever it may be, and we have problems that way. And I'd just like to bring this together. Why God, why Jesus called the church the body of Christ? It must flow together in unity. Every member functioning in its part, whether it's hidden, whether it's seen, doesn't really matter. But the whole thing that every member does is for the benefit of the whole. Can we remember that one principle? The benefit of the whole. And that my challenge to you tonight is, if you find yourself going through life, struggling in church life, just not being free. You want something you can't have. You're battling here, you're battling there. You have attitudes against leaders. You have attitudes about this or that person. It could even be a song leader. It could be a children's lesson teacher, whatever it may be. Maybe you're sitting in your seat and you're burning to get up there and do some teaching and you're just not asked. And you just can't understand why you're not asked and you struggle with this. We're going to open the pulpit tonight. We're going to give an invitation. And I want you to just look at this thing in your own life. I want you to get clear tonight and be that member that is willing to be a hidden member and glorify God with all that you have. That's what God wants. And furthermore, I want you to know that if you're struggling with these sins, you are in sin. You're struggling with these attitudes. You must repent and get your heart cleared up. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you and praise you for your great mercy and love on us tonight. And, oh God, I thank you for the beautiful picture of the body of Christ. And I pray, oh God, that each one of us could give ourselves as those members which are there to just give all that we have for your glory only. For your glory, Lord. And for the benefit of the whole body. Serving that way, even as our Lord Jesus. Oh, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let that mind be in us, oh Lord. Your word tells us that, may this mind be in us, that we are here serving in a willing, sacrificial way for the glory of God and for the benefit of the body of Christ. I pray you would direct us now tonight, speak to our hearts. And I pray, Lord, if there are any here tonight, Lord, that find that they have fallen in this area, that they would come forward out of their seats and clear up their hearts, get this thing right, that they may be a beneficial member that is going forth, not crippled, not halting and hindering the body, but that they would go, that they would be there in your will and way, and that you could have a healthy body of Jesus Christ right here on this earth, going forth, doing exploits for the name of the Lord Jesus and for His glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to give an invitation. Maybe you are here tonight. You know, there are two ways that you can have the nicest house on the block. The one way is to put all the effort into it to build the nicest house. To foot the expense and all that to build the nicest house. The other way you can do it is tear all the others down. Which are you doing? Do you find yourself tearing down other characters because you find that they are holier than you? They have gifts that you don't have and you struggle with jealousy. Jealousy is sin, beloved. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, even tonight. Are you willing to be a hidden member? Do you struggle with being overlooked? You know, maybe you have bitterness in your heart, maybe unforgiveness, maybe you were misused. Oh, use it for your own benefit. You can use those things, those hurts, for your own growth and your moving forward in Christ. In short, is your life glorifying God or are you robbing God? All right, where's our song leader? We're going to give an invitation. If you find the Spirit speaking to your heart, you come forward. Song number 55. You just come on up here and get your heart cleared. There will be someone to pray with you. Or you come up and pray and get that thing cleared before you where you can have peace in your heart as you go home tonight. Song number 55. Own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the Father. Tarry long. You have something to clear up tonight. You come on up, get your heart clear.
Master, today, whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence, humbly I bow.
I'd like to ask you a question. You are a member of the body of Christ. Is the body of Christ positively or benefiting in a positive way by you? Are you that member that is there doing its part? Or do you find yourself shirking back, sitting back, you know, just not willing to exert the energy that is needed? That's the other side of the spectrum. Or are you there with your heart? You are there to support. You are there lifting up the preachers in prayer. You are there with your heart. Or are you just standing off a little bit in a distance, just slightly disconnected? You will not benefit the body that way. Repent. Get things cleared up and be a positive blessing to the body of Christ. Let's sing another verse.
Wait, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine.
And I do not want to forget, I want to also give the invitation. Maybe you are here tonight and you feel a call to be a part of the body of Christ and you've never given your life to His Lordship and never allowed Him to be head of your life. I want to give you that invitation. If you are not saved tonight and you'd like to have your soul saved, you come. Jesus Christ is here to save souls, even in 2009. So I want to give that invitation. This is, yes, it was primarily for the body of Christ, but I want to also give that invitation for anyone that's not saved. Come on up. Get your heart clear before God. He will save your soul. If you confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's sing one more verse and we'll close. All right, those of you that have responded here, the ladies can go to my right here, and maybe the men here can go to my left. They'll close the curtains there, and if you want to just move on back there, and someone could be there to pray with you and help you. Well, I thank you for bearing with me. I realize we went way over time. I knew this is a subject that I hardly knew where to stop and where to end. And I thank you for bearing with me. But it is a subject that I feel we need a real vision in what we are as a church. All right. Remember to pick all your psalm books up and put them on your chairs. That way they don't get damp. Why don't we all stand to our feet? Remember to keep the fellowship over this way a little bit so we respect the neighbors over this way. Not too noisy out there for them. Tomorrow evening, again, is another service. Brother Stanley will be speaking tomorrow evening. Let's come back. Fill the tent up again. I'm very blessed tonight to see so many of you coming out. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you and praise you for your great mercy and love on us. And I pray that you would direct our lives and lead us, Father. And I just thank you, Lord, for your rich blessings. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and able to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen. God bless you all. Depart in peace, and you're dismissed.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.